dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. One of the most important of the fronts in that war at the moment is playing out in a conference hall, of all places, in Warsaw, Poland. We're going to do a very special program, Secure Freedom Radio, today to visit with a number of freedom fighters in this war for the free world who are gathered there to try to protect from the onslaught of the Islamists and their friends, those liberties we tend to take for granted, but that are very much in jeopardy at the moment. I'm very pleased to be able to welcome back to our microphones a colleague at the Center for Security Policy, one of our senior fellows, and one of the most thoughtful and certainly informed of those freedom fighters, Stephen Coughlin. Stephen was a major in the United States Army with an intelligence specialization. When he worked on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he served as their duty expert on Sharia, the ideological doctrinal threat that we are facing. And he is the author of a forthcoming book entitled Catastrophic Failure, The Big Lie in the War on Terror. Stephen Coughlin, welcome back. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for what you're doing in Warsaw, and we'll turn to that in a moment. But set the stage for us, if you would, first, by talking a little bit about the very nature of the struggle we find ourselves in at the moment, and that too few of us really know is even afoot.
Well, I tell you, I'm at this conference. It's the Organization for Cooperation Security in Europe, and it's the first time I've been here, although, of course, as you know, there have been some foot soldiers here. Elizabeth Sabbath-Wolf has started a couple years ago, and it turns out to be actually quite a real forum for this. A great surprise on my behalf on seeing this is how much you see Soros organizations teamed up with these people to do all this stuff. And it just shocks me that as an American citizen, we are participating in something which the materials in the hallway make this something I feel like I'm going into a Comintern meeting. And I wish I could say I was joking. But what we have is a situation where through these international organizations, the Organization of Islamic Conference is trying to pass laws in you know, what the term I've been using here is facially neutral language. If you read it and don't think about it, it just seems like neutral pledges and decisions to do something that actually have a very harsh effect. And as we sit here and we go to these functions and some of these breakout sessions, we find a very high percentage of people are completely unaware of what the languages they're talking about. So what's happening is...
But Steve, before we go into that too much, let's just, again, back the lens up with me a little bit. I want to set the stage for our audience. There's a struggle going on. You mentioned the organization, I think it's called the Islamic Cooperation these days, OIC. What does it represent and who, and what is its agenda, not just there at the OSCE meeting, but more broadly in the world today, and what kind of a threat does it represent to the rest of us?
Well, the Organization of Islamic Conference is the second largest intergovernmental organization, second only to the United Nations, and claims to have 57 member states. Of course, it's 56 member states and the Palestinian Authority, and they represent the Islamic governing entities, the member states at the head of state level, so that when they come together and pass rules, they can make it binding on the entire Muslim world. And they do through legal processes they've created internal to the OIC mechanisms that include having summits that are composed of heads of states. Of most interest to us at this forum is the fact in 2005, the OIC passed something called the 10-Year Program of Action, which had to do with making Islamic law of slander a crime in every jurisdiction under the guise of defamation of religions, where they accused people who opposed Islamic ideas as being Islamophobes. And we've seen this roll forward starting the 10-year plan of action passed in December 2005, and by January 2006, we had the cartoon crisis in Europe. We've recently had the days of rage associated with the Quran burning in Afghanistan. So what we see here at this function is going to, of course, the OIC plans to integrate or implement this 10-year program through UN organizations. And so what they do is they've sanitized the Islamic legal language, and they've turned it into this international diplomatic kind of semi-babble language that states things in a very, like I say, very neutral way. And you really have to think about what it says to realize this is very harsh language.
What they're doing then, Steve, as I gather, is using what our friend Bill Siegel, the author of The Control Factor, has described as kind of a third phase of this sort of jihadism, one being the violent kind, of course, that we've seen in a lot of different places, most recently Nairobi, Kenya. The other being this civilization jihad that we've discussed many times on this program, namely the kind of stealthy, subversive, pre-violent jihad that this Muslim Brotherhood organization is most especially associated with. And then what you're dealing with there at Warsaw, at the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, of the international form of jihad, namely that being perpetrated by the OIC. And Steve, this facially neutral language, and again, our guest is Stephen Coughlin, formerly a major in the United States Army and now the author of Catastrophic Failure, The Big Lie in the War on Terror. What you're seeing there in an international organization supposedly tending to security and cooperation in Europe is this effort to insinuate, as I understand it, sort of international into international norms, really Islamic Sharia doctrine. Is that what it comes down to?
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't actually see it in the language here. You know, one of the things that struck me on the first morning I got here, Monday morning, was this language of representing the rights of indigenous languages. And it sounds so innocuous until you realize what it means is that someone's allowed to move to your country as a foreign national, and that they, you know, tied into the idea of keeping your language is keeping your culture. And, of course, nobody wants to deny anybody their traditions. I mean, we're a country of many nationalities and ethnic groups, but the idea of keeping to your own language means that someone can come and move to, you know, Tucson, or a whole lot of people can come to move to Tucson or to Berlin or to Paris, and they can decide that they'll live there, and it's a human rights violation for you to expect that they would come to live in your country and live according to your laws and to your customs. And so, you know, in this very neutral law that seems to have no national consequence, it's really a direct assault on sovereignty. And it's very interesting. This is one thing that the OIC and the Soros people are absolutely in lockstep with. And so you just see mutually reinforcing activities. One of the big things that
I want to come to that, because I think this sort of left Islamist axis, some have called it the red-green axis, is a fascinating piece of this and worth exploring in its own right. And we'll do that after a short break in a moment. But just stay with the Islamists and the OIC for a moment, Steve Coughlin. How does the OIC operate? Is the head of state level, as you've mentioned, is it really a monolithic group as a practical matter? Or are there differences, for example, you know, between Sunnis and Shiites within the Muslim world?
Well, I think that the OIC tries to present itself as a monolithic entity, or as one that shows, maybe it's more accurate to say, represents itself to represent the consensus view of the Muslim world. However, of course, we clearly can see that within the OIC is this massive divide between the Shiite world and Iran and Hezbollah, and of course, on the other side, Sunni Islam, Turkey, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, and Hamas,
Qatar,
and Al-Qaeda. And we see the unity of the OIC working itself out in the fields of Syria. So, I think that we've had some success here in large part because their focus is maybe on other things, and we've been able to get some major pieces into the record, big events into the record. And in fact, we had started the scene from talking to other people that other people are following suit and joining in on this. So we kind of created a little groundswell.
Terrific. Well, that's the idea, obviously, and we want to hear more about it. We're going to be getting reports from several of your colleagues there in this important part of the battle space of the war for the free world playing out as we speak at the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe. And we'll be talking for one more segment with Stephen Coughlin, truly one of the country's preeminent authorities on Islamism and Sharia law that impels it, and the threat that it represents to all of us, the author of the forthcoming book, Catastrophic Failure. More with Steve Coughlin right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.